great things about when you're up here and you're preaching, you spend a lot of time giving background and this kind of thing because you're trying to get people in the attitude to be able to receive. But when the Spirit comes in like that, you know, my work, that work is already done. So I can go right into the Word and give you what God has given us. Amen. So would you open up your Bibles with me today? Remember, this month we've been talking about influence. Influence. God has us in the month of influence. And influence is critical in our day and time. Influence, I believe, is everything. I think we underestimate our influence. Would you turn with me to the book of Matthew, the 26th chapter? We're going to start at verse 6 through 13. And you can put a thumb in there. And then we're going to also go to Revelation 13 chapter and verses 16 through 17. Again, that's Matthew, the 26th chapter, verse 6 through 13, and then we're going to do Revelation 13 through 16. Those who are watching by way of the broadcast, I think I'll be able to get that on the screen for you on this morning. Wrong one. Sorry about that. There we go. All right. So there it is on the screen for you. Let me get it on my screen over here. And it says this. So in verse 6, it says, "Now when Jesus was in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, there came unto him a woman holding an alabaster box, a very precious ointment, and poured it on his head as he sat at meat. But when his disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, 'To what purpose is this waste? For the ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor.' When Jesus understood it, he said unto them, 'Why trouble ye the woman? For she hath wrought a good way. For ye have the poor always with me, ye have not always. For in that she hath poured this ointment on my body, she did in my burial. Verily I say unto you, whosoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this that this woman hath done be told for a memorial of her." Now you find it ironic. He said it'll be told in the world where it's preached, that it'll be told as a memorial for her. By us just simply reading that today, is that what? That memorial for her. So every time this text is brought up, every time this text is preached, she's what? She's being remembered. Isn't that amazing that God gave her such a thing that she will be remembered for forever? Isn't that interesting? Just reading the text, it's every time it's preached, it's going to be a memorial to her, to what she's done and what she gave. And we'll talk about Revelation, we are in chapter, what did I say? Revelation, let me get this to them here. 13, and we are starting at verse number 16. "And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell or save he that have the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that have understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666, which translates to 666. And I don't know if you have picked the number of man. What is the number of man? The number of man is 6. Because God on the 6th day. Mm-hmm. Now watch this. So now the number is what? 666. We know God to be what? Holy Ghost, Jesus, and God himself, right? What we call the Holy Trinity. So remember, the Antichrist is what? Exactly what it says. It's Antichrist. It's against Christ. So if Christ has a Trinity, he has a Trinity. And his Trinity is what? Humanity magnified 3 times. Are y'all with me this morning? And that's where that number 666 come from. Because the sixth day, and it's the way his Trinity. So his Trinity is going against God's Trinity. But we already know that God has the power. Amen. So if I want to use for a subject on this morning, I just want to give y'all, just the teacher me to force me to give y'all that background. But if I want to use for a subject on this morning, to your hearing, is the simply the subject of influence indicator. So you all know, next weekend, hopefully God's will, that I'm going to fish this, this tournament, right? And in this tournament, I have all kinds of gadgets and things that I use out there on my boat. And one of the most important gadgets for me is my battery indicator. What my battery indicator tells me is it tells me exactly how much power that I have in my battery going forward. So according to how much power I have in my battery, I typically make a decision of how far I want to go out on the lake. Because I know I want to make sure that I can return back in the time that I need to return back. So that if my battery dies, when I'm back at the dock ready to go home. So the indicator is a very, very important thing because it gives me information. It tells me where I am. It tells me how much I have. It tells me how much I have to go forward and how much I can do and how much I can't do. So this indicator is what? Very important to me. Now, what I found with this indicator is that God has given us an indicator of our influence. And of our influence, I find simply is this, is, you can measure your influence by how people react to you. And I have five things that I wanted to point out to you that I want you to take with you that is a measure of your, indicator of your influence. And we find here that, this story that Adam alabaster box, what we find is that this lady had a box of alabaster, and what it really was more like a jar. They call it the alabaster box. It's called alabaster because of the stone that it was made out of. It was a stone that was a hard stone, but it was soft enough to be fairly broken, fairly easy in some aspects. And they would mine this stone, and they would carve these things into bottles or jars. And in this jar is where she kept that ointment was really like a perfume. Now, I don't know about you, but you notice that you don't buy perfume in paper bottles, do you? No, because it would absorb the bottle. So this, most of the time, in this day and time, we get perfume and these kind of things in glass bottles. Very rarely do you see cologne coming in a plastic bottle that will absorb certain chemicals, those chemicals that are used to produce. So you almost always exclusively see perfume or something like in a glass bottle. That's why you see that. Now, this is the equivalent of that in that day. So here you have this alabaster box, this carved stone, which was very important. Why? Because this is the thing that can hold the oil and not absorb it. It can hold the oil and still hold all the ingredients and hold all the things that it brought to the table and bring all the things that come together to make it a good scent. But it was what? Hell inside that alabaster box. And the Bible says that when she sees Jesus, what does she do? She goes in and she takes this alabaster box and she breaks it. And now the first thing is that people see is that, number one, they know that it was a costly perfume. It was something that some texts that tell us that it was almost a year that she saved up to have this. It was almost a year's salary. And now you see somebody taking a year's salary, pouring it on somebody that some people believe that they don't know. But what we find is if we read the text and we go through that, we find that Bethany had she had a relationship with Jesus. With Jesus told her about herself. Jesus gave her some things to help her go to the next level. Jesus showed her some things, and he provided some way, and he loved on her, and he kept her, and he showed her how to get to the next level. So now she has what? A sense of admiration for him, and she's asking herself, what can I do to show him that I love him? What can I do to show him that I'm pleased with him? What can I do to show him how much he's meant to me? And I don't know about you, but some of us, we're in the time of the year now, we're starting to be holiday season, and some people give these things what we call gifts. And the reason they give gifts is they give gifts to what? To some people to show that what? I am happy that you are in my life. This is my best gift to you to show that I appreciate you and I appreciate
whatever it is that you've done for us. And I appreciate what you've done for me through the years. I appreciate our friendship. And what this is an indicator. Some use it as an indicator of how they feel. So here we find that what? The lady takes what? Her alabaster box, which was costly, which was the best she had, which was a symbol of her what? Giving God her very best. And in fact, he didn't even ask for what she did. She gave it as an offering unto him. So what she does is what? She takes that box and she breaks that box, and that box is being broken is a symbol of her being broken before him. And in breaking that box, then she gives him what? The best that she has, that she pours that oil on him. So look, it's very common that when you have an alabaster box that they actually break them to release the fragrance, to break them to get what's out of them. And sometimes God has to break you and I to let things come out of us. This is why he allows us to be in certain situations and circumstances. Lord, why did this have to happen to me? Lord, why was I brought this way? Because what this is what is allowed to what to let the aroma of you come out. And if you put it before his feet, what you find is the Bible said that she took that oil and she anointed his head. She started at the head, because it starts at the head and what it flows down. The anointing starts at the head and it flows down. This is why it's important that we as fathers and those who are fathers who are in their homes, that what we live right, that we talk right, that we do the best we can and ask God for deliverance. Why? Because I find that if we messed up, that everybody else gets messed up. Come on, somebody. I know that's a lot of stress and a lot of things, but that's what the position that God has put it in. And he made you, man. So that means that you have the capacity to handle it. That means you just cannot live. And, but he said, all your ways acknowledge him, that what he would direct their path. So when the oil starts to flow down from the head, and as the oil starts to flow down from the head, then what we find here is that now that the oil is going down to her feet, and then going down to his feet, and then the Bible says that what she takes her hands and her hair, and she starts to dry his feet with her hair, and the disciples look at this upon with indignation and saying, why are you here? And see, what they don't know is the influence that Jesus has had on her life. They don't know the relationship that she's had with Jesus. They don't understand the talks and the long night conversations that they had. So when she saw him, she was like, what can I do? What must I do? I got to do something to let him know, look, how much I appreciate you. I got to let you know, Lord, how much I love you. I got to let you know how much you mean to me. I got to let you know. So what she do is she take the very best she had. When she had it, when she saw him, what she do? She gave it to him in the form of what she anointed his body. So number one, the indicator of your influence is that people give. Break it down. Let me give you another example. I have certain friends of mine. When I come to them, oh, come on, somebody. They get mad and they get offended if I want to stay in the hotel. Why? Because the influence that I've had on their life is that, hey, you come stay with me. Your money's no good here. See, an indicator of your influence is when your money cannot buy anything. And this is the influence that Jesus had on people. This is the influence that God is calling you and I to, that what? That we have such an influence that we can't even buy anything. That when we go to certain places, that people open up doors. We all know that men of God and women of God that we've seen in the past, we've seen how some people bless them. And people look at them like, why do they bless them like that? When he got a job, why are they doing this for him? Why are they doing it for him? It's the power of his influence. Because you don't know the relationship they have. Some say, well, you know, Peter, you don't know T.D. Jakes, but I tell you what, I will honor him if he walked through the door, because I understand the power of his influence that he's had on my life from Texas through way of YouTube and Facebook and whatever else the other case may be. It's about your influence can far exceed your area and capacity. And so often, brothers and sisters, we get to the point that we just get stuck. We're like, if I don't see it right now, you don't know the seeds that are being planted. I don't know the seeds that are being planted. This church itself was started with a seed that was given from somebody from New York that I've to this day not met face to face. This church. So you don't know the power of your influence. And an indicator of your influence, number one, is how people approach you when they address you. How do people approach you when they dress you? If you notice that when she addresses Jesus, when she addresses Jesus, that she humbles herself. No, he didn't go there. He didn't announce who he was. In fact, we already know that. Most people didn't even know who Jesus was. This is why Judas had to do what? Judas had to kiss him in public to say, this is him. Because Jesus was so common amongst the men that people didn't even know who he was. They knew who he was, but they couldn't really like point him out. They couldn't just point them out. So what? Your influence, how people address you. That's some people just come to you and they be disrespectful.
Check your influence. You know, I get to a point when people find out, oh, well, I'm a preacher or whatever, what they do is they change how they address me. It's influence. People find out you got a PhD or whatever, it's influence. And that influence that God has given us, that he's given us that what? For the kingdom work. And what happens is you can find yourself in a place and time in a situation where your money can't do anything for you, but your influence and the power God has given you through his anointing makes the difference. So here what? Number one, how do you know your indicator of your influence? It's how people approach you. If they're approaching you wrong, check your influence. If they're calling you out of your name, check your influence. If they're coming at you a certain way, check your influence. Because when you have a certain influence, they just can't come any old kind of way. They can't just do any old kind of thing. They cannot just say any old thing they want to say. They can't just move any old way they want to move. You got to do it. Check. Number two, how do you know your influence? Number two of this is, how are you served? Because see, remember the disciples were fussing with Jesus and they were having a theological debate and they were asking Jesus, who's the greatest among us, right? And he said what? Those who serve is the greatest among you. And what happens is as you serve, you get served. As you serve, it gets served. I often think about it and I talk about it oftentimes as a circle. If you move, everybody just moves, give something to the right. If you're in a circle, everybody pass something to the right. If you keep passing it long enough and everybody consistently passes it to the right, what happens? Whatever you gain at some point in time comes back to you. It's just that some of us get in the circle and then we get out. Woo! We got what we wanted. Now we don't want to give it no more and we come out. When the truth of the matter is none of us own anything. All we have is what? We're just being what? Leasing. We're just leasing it from God. He just allowed us to work it for a while. So then what? I passed it because you don't know what? When I being passed to me. And I would never know what's being passed to me if I removed myself from the circle. Because we get selfish sometimes. Well, I got what I want. Now I'm gone. Because what? Now the other people still sitting in the circle trying to get what they want. So this is why this circle what has to be consistent. So what? How people serve you. If you've been good to people will be good back to you. I know some say, well, Pastor, no, that's them. That, you can't do that. They give you that butt to kiss. You gotta give them the best of you. When they done you wrong, God knows he's keeping score. Because he said like this in Matthew, he said that even when they do evil against you, that you do well to them because it leaves what? Coals of fire upon their head. I've seen it work in my own life. Don't know what to do with you. Like, you see it. And you just like, oh. All nonchalantly. So that thing works out. Even when they're giving you more than you'll just do, we have of our influence. Because the others are looking. See, you do right by that situation. Other people are looking back like, hold on. Now, we know that ain't right. And watch this. This is what happens. And you don't have to fix it. The level of your influence fixes it for you. It fixes it for you. Let me give you an example. Y'all remember that old show they called Home Makeover? You know, they tried to make that show that was really about them going to these people's houses and fixing these houses up. But by the time almost every at the end of every episode, we was at a point that it was a God moment almost, right? That people were in tears and their homes were being renovated. And what happens? Whole communities were coming together to help people's houses because these people typically were people who gave of themselves to the point that they gave out. That to the point that they gave and their things went down and their things was messed up or whatever the case may be. And yet they didn't complain about it. In most facts, they wouldn't tell folk about it. They would just keep giving. And that was one thing I liked about that show. You know, it's a home in Fayetteville. I pass almost every day going to work because it's right there that they Michelle Obama and them fix. It's right down the street from my job. And when I see that home, it's a reminder to me, because I know that lady that was there, she was giving herself, trying to help veterans and this and that, and she has an autistic child there. They have a big sign that says, autistic child here. You know, watch the street. You know, it's a very busy street. And it's a reminder to me that as she selfishly gave to the community of Fayetteville, when her time came, the community of Fayetteville gave to her. And it's the biggest house in the entire block, the entire area for the most part. And who did it? The people did it. God didn't come down from heaven. He didn't drop these things. The Bible said what? That it would be the what? The people who are going to give to your bosom. And so you keep doing right. I know it gets hard. Trust me, I know when you seem like you're going and you're giving, like, Lord, when is my time? But if we stay in the circle long enough, the longer it takes to go, see, this is the issue. See, the bigger the circle, the longer it's going to take to come back around. So if your circle's small, then you ain't doing much. But if you're in that, and we got to stay, well, so it's an indicator of our influence, how people serve us. So we serve, but we also get served. Okay, let me give you this. Number three, an indicator of your influence is what they ask you for. What they ask you for. What do I mean by this? As an influencer, people always are asking you for things. But what they ask you for is the difference. There are some people who ask you for things that they want, and there are some people who ask you for things that they need. There's a distinct difference. Those who you truly gonna have an impact on are the ones who are asking you for the things that they need. I don't know about you, but I'm human, right? And I'm one of those ones, I'm very diligent about remembering when people helped me when I didn't have nothing. I remember when people, I put in myself that, well, if I ever get the opportunity, not only to help them, but to help somebody else who's in that position, I'm going to do it. This is why for many years, if I saw anybody walking, if I remotely knew them, they got in the car with me because I walked everywhere I needed to go. And we walked, I was in the country, we walked miles to get some places because I didn't have transportation. So I had made up my mind, I said, God, if I ever get a car and I see anybody I know walking, they're going to get picked up by me. And I literally did that for years. And I've been definitely blessed, you know, because of it. You know, so certain things that I would do, but when you, it's different when somebody is fulfilling a need. And see, the thing about Jesus' influence on us is that way he fulfilled that need. That need in us was what? I need to be reconciled to him. Because he was our father, and without us being reconciled to him, there was always what? An empty void inside of us to say, Lord, I missed this part. Lord, I need this part. Lord, what's going on with this part? So therefore, what? We always what was in need of him. So if you notice in the Bible, and if you find it, please let me know, because I've not found it in God for anything, it was always out of a need and never want. Your influence. Maybe it's not godly. Maybe they see some things in you that they shouldn't be seeing in you, because the only wants they should be coming, the only thing they should be asking for is what? Their needs. And God said, well, I will supply out all your needs according to what? His riches and glory. So what? Your influence is for what? To meet needs, not wants. Influence is to meet needs and not wants. All right, let's go on. Number four here, we said, another indicator of your influence is how are they changed when they leave you? Now, we notice here that the lady with the alabaster box, she's sat there and she's washed his, used her tears to wash his feet. And in one place they say she used the oil and she got him. And now now Jesus is about to leave. What happens when he leaves? He leaves her with what? A lasting influence. It's another indicator of your influence. Do you have a lasting influence, or are you only an influence for the moment? See, I bet that's why when you're just fulfilling people's wants, things change, right? Because they only want this for the moment. If you ain't careful, they want something else next week, and they want something else the next time, and they want something else. And now you become somebody's Santa Claus, or you become somebody's garbage can that they just keep dumping all their emotional baggage on you, because that's what you made yourself to be. But a need is different. See, a need, I only go to that well when I really know I need it. And what God does is when she leaves him, he leaves a lasting impression. Why? Because he made a memorial to her and said that anytime that this text will be preached, anytime that this will be said throughout the whole world, that what? You will be remembered. That's a lasting impression. How many of you met people that had a lasting impression on you? Am I the only one? There's some people in my life that I met in a very important time in my life. Anything with money. Sometimes they answered the phone at the right time when I was really thinking about doing something crazy. Sometimes it was just a kind word of encouragement when I was really going through. Sometimes it was a gesture of come go over here with me, or let's look at this or do that. And a very, very few times did money have to do anything with it. Now, maybe it cost them money to do it, but a very few times it had anything to do with it. And those I do not forget. I remember those things. So they have a lasting impression on me. So check yourself. Do you have a lasting impression on the people that you influence? If not, you need to check that indicator. And the last piece on this, number five, and I'll let you go. I know we're a little longer than we normally would be, is how they let you leave. How do they let you leave? What do you mean by that? That when you interact with people and you have influence on people, how they let you leave determines a lot about the influence that you have. I don't know about you, but I know, families, we have a good time. I know there's times that Felicia and I and the children, we'll go over to the Jordan's house and it'll be 1, 2 o'clock in the morning. We don't want to leave each other's presence. We've had such a good time. We don't want to leave. But we know we got to go. We know they got to get up. We know we got to get up. There's things that we got to do. But it's when we leave, we don't really say goodbye. We just kind of more like, we see you later. Because this is an ongoing thing. And there's other couples that my wife and I, we have this relationship with. But then there's some couples, you're looking at the clock and you say, Lord, is it 9 o'clock yet? Is it time for them to come back? Is it time? Thank you. It's time for us to go. I told you how you had the kids home by 9 o'clock. You all know you feel those times. Influence, right? So those who had that kind of influence, I mean, I don't want them to leave. Why? Because I'm trying to absorb everything I can. Because what does Jesus tell them? He said, the poor you're going to have with you always. But what did he say? He said this part of the way. He said, not. So therefore, when I'm home, and I know you all can relate to this, when I'm home, no, I don't want to leave my parents' house. I know I got to go, but I don't want to leave. Why? Because I don't know how much longer I have them. I don't know how much longer I'm going to get the influence of my father's voice and hear the things that he has to say and tell him that he's proud of me, because it matters to a son. It matters to hear my dad say that he's proud of me. And I know it matters to my boy, and it matters to my children. It matters to my parents that they see that God, everything that they prayed for and that they sacrificed for, that they seeing it what come through their children, that God has blessed them and God has allowed them to see all those things. It matters. It matters. I know it'll matter immensely to my father-in-law to see us living in this brick home. Because I remember he used to always say, y'all going to have a big old house one day. Y'all going to be like this one day. And now I see that, and all these things that my father saw, like, used to prophesy to me that he didn't even live to see. But then my mother-in-law get to live in and get to see, and we get to enjoy that. And I think about it sometimes. Those are things that my father-in-law used to say to me all the time. And I would just show them all. God had already allowed him to do what Sister John said, see beyond that. He already saw beyond that. And that's why I believe God allowed him to go on and go home. So he said, well, I already seen that. I know they're going to be all right. So Lord, if it's time for me to go, let me go. And sometimes we still don't understand it. Some days I go through my mind and say, Lord, why this and why that happened this way? But God knows. He knows exactly what had to happen, when it needed to happen, and how it needed to flow. Why? So that way it can increase our faith. So I want to remind you on today and leave with you today that you want to check your influence indicator. Your influence indicator, you should have 5 little bars that you should be checking on. Number one, check how people approach you. If they approach you wrong, you got to check that. Number two, you want to see how they serve you. You serve, but also there comes a time that you are to be served to. Number three, what they ask for. Do they ask for what they need or do they ask for what they want? It's important, because if I'm an influencer, then I'm giving you what you need, not necessarily what you want. Number four, how are they changed when they leave you? Do they change with a change? Is there a seed implanted inside of them? Do they change their ways? Do in time that things start to move and they start to move in a different direction and go dust their feet off of you and ready for you to run on and be gone? Or do they have a thing
in and say, you know, I know you got to go, but I really don't want you to leave. That I see the influence that you have on my life, and I know I want you all, and I want to get all I can of you while I can. And see, this is what this woman with the alabaster box was doing, and was reminding me that Jesus showed us these five attributes in his work with her, that she approached him with an humble heart. She approached him with an humble mind, that she came, what, to serve him. And not only did she serve him, but she served him with her best. And then he asked her what she needed, and she said, Lord, I don't need anything, but I want to be in your presence. This is a payment for what you've already done. This was a payment for the influence that you already had on me. And then when she got there, then what? How did she change that? The Lord said that what? She will always have a memorial for her. That somebody will always speak of her name. That they will always speak of the goodness and what she done on this day. Even when others had something to say about what she did. Even when others talking about why did you give the costly oil. Even when others had something to run their mouth about. That God didn't allow the criticism to stop. But he's let her what? Walk through it. And then what? Then when she left. Amen. That what? How she left. He said that what? Leave me alone because I'm not going to be with you always. So therefore, let her get all this text that God has shown me to give to you on today that you need to check your influence by. And I believe, brothers and sisters, that if you check your influence by these five attributes, these five questions, these five things, that you'll find yourself being a place of major influence, that you'll go places that people can't buy you things, that you'll go places that people won't let you spend your money, that they'll always want to serve you. And when you know that you're there, amen, then what? It's time to move on. Because what? Jesus went place. I do not know one place yet that I've seen in the Bible that Jesus went and bought anything. It was his influence. In fact, what he did is sometimes he had to force them to do things. What did he tell that boy? He said, go out there to the river and throw out your hook and you're going to catch a fish. And when you catch that fish, there's going to be a coin in his mouth. And you're going to take that coin and you not only, I'm going to help you pay your taxes, but then you go over there and you pay mine. Yeah, Jesus paid tax. And we want to tax it, baby. Come on, somebody. Woo, let me get off that. But do you see what I'm saying? So nowhere in the text I found, if you find it, please let me know. I mean, I could be mistaken, but I don't find that Jesus bought anything. That people always brought things to him. And everything he did, well, he always ministered to people's need. Ministered to people's need. And when they left Jesus, what did they do? They always left what? Better than what they came. And in fact, that what? Jesus found himself having to run away. Watch this. When did Jesus most of the time move? At night. Why did he move at night? Because his influence was so great that he couldn't move during the day because when people saw him, he couldn't go more than 5 or 6 steps. Now, that's influence. And we see in our culture, we do have people who have that kind of influence today. You know, that's why we see people do the things they do. I mean, I watch, you know, don't get it twisted now. It's a different kind of power, but we see those rock stars. We saw this thing that all these people got killed here a couple of weeks ago. A man tell the people to run the stage. They ran the stage. Don't get it twisted. The devil got some power too, but he just ain't got all of it. Oh, come on, somebody. He said that he had all power in his hand, and the power that even the devil had is what God allowed him to have for a season. It's not always, but it's what? For a season that he's allowed to have this power. And after that season is up, and God allows him to chastise his people and put them where he needs them to be, then he removes that power. And all power be in his hand. So I'm asking you today, follow the example of Jesus. Buy anything. I've heard stories of people giving folks homes and cars and all kinds of stuff. Why? It's the influence. Is that what you did for me? No counselor, and I believe in going to counselor. I believe if you need to go, go. But what you did for me, Lord, no counselor could have done. How you healed my body, Lord, no doctor could have done. How you removed cancer and how you stopped death and you kept us through heart attacks and all kinds of stuff that's happened to people. People spend what? Everything they got. You see what I'm going with this? Let somebody come in here who is gravely ill and God allow us to pray for them and they be transformed right there and go back. I guarantee you they'll give you everything they have. Because they were giving everything they had to somebody who had no power, called a doctor. And this is the influence that God has given you all. He's going to give some of us physicians. And he's given us more influence than we ever thought we would have. So we understand this. It's not about power. It's about influence. And sometimes to have the influence don't necessarily mean you need to be in a position. And I know that's tough in this day and age because it's like, if I'm going to have the influence, I should have the title and everything else. I get it. I'm in that school too. But for some reason, God has a season where
He's weeping. People being let go, people being fired, folks don't want jobs. It's weeping season right now. And that's why I believe that God is moving us. We go into 2022, just think of the double harvest. Because the reaper he actually does have that sickle, right? And that sickle is what used to harvest wheat. And what happens is he goes across this field with that on that sickle. It's called a sickle. And he cuts across the field. And what that field does, it cuts all the tops of the grains of wheat off. And then there's what? These people who come back and pick it up. And I'm telling you, in 2020, people who are going to be sick for this year's out. You all know as we get close to life, not that people hadn't been down. They've been down all along, but it's going to seem like it'll be more prominent people, celebrities, and all this kind of stuff. Mark my word, it happens every single year. You know, more folk will be starting to check out of here, and some more things are being reaped. Meaning that sickle's coming out, it's cutting stuff. I'm speaking to you prophetically right now. And as that stuff gets cut, what happens is what? We'll be the reapers. We're going to go in there and we're going to pick up that harvest because they're there and they're waiting to be picked up. And how are they going to pick them up? Through your influence. You all are more mighty and more powerful than you ever thought you are. I know some of you see yourselves, oh, anybody watching me? Oh, they don't care about me. They don't care about this. Mess up and see how many people do care. They might not say it, but they'll be saying things like, man, I thought you were different. That's what you'll hear. You'll be like, all this time you ain't said nothing. Yeah, but, you know, I didn't because I didn't know how to approach you or I wasn't sure how to do it or I have so much respect for you. Let me give you a quick example, then I'm done. If a certain celebrity, if your favorite celebrity walked through the door right now, people have a tendency to lose their mind. We see this, right? We see little girls, they faint, they holler, they shook, they can't move, because they have such a admiration for this person, right, that their bodies just kind of give over, okay? Think about people who have that kind of admiration for you. I know you say it's strange. Oh, nobody, but you'd be surprised who do. And when they see you and you do something or you fall off, and it does something to them. This is why my prayer is, Lord, please don't let me fall. I know I got some stuff with me. I have attitude problems. Sometimes I have, you know, I don't want to do right. But I'm reminded, and I look at these people in here. I'm reminded about my son and my daughter. I'm reminded about Sean. I'm reminded about Gabe and John and how far God has brought all these people. And I'm like, is what I want to do more important than them? Those mornings that I don't want to get up and pray. I want to lay in the bed. I'm tired too. And we push our way through it. I know, and I'm grateful that you all, because y'all know some of the more y'all know we're pushing through it. It's tough. And there's some mornings I can tell when y'all pushing through it too. And then there's some mornings it's just like God just rained on heaven and we don't want to get off. But it's those days that we push through. Because we're walking in integrity and accountability. Those are the ones that's really making us. So like when God, you know, I need you. I know you'll be there. And I just find it, and I don't count it strange that since we've done this sacrifice and said, God, we believe you in the next 90 days, there's so many, I don't know about you all, but in my life, so many things have changed. Like I said, I've had people fired, left, my boss stepped down. I'm like, oh God, you know, that big report I was working on, it came back last week while I was sitting right here in this pulpit. And now I'm like, oh God, we got to fix all this stuff. Lord, what am I going to do? They gave me 60 days to fix this. I mean, I'm not going to have Christmas. I'm not going to have to think, what am I going to do? But I thank God for that word that he sent through the prophet and son this morning, that he already knows. It's beyond that. It's already done. You just got to do your part. It's going to be some sweat equity. I can't just pop my fingers and it's going to be done. And you're not going to just pop your fingers and it's going to be done either. There could be some sweat equity that you take, and he's going to see us through. He's going to see us through. God bless you all on this morning. I love you all. I believe God has just tremendously visited us here on this day, and I'm just grateful for what he's doing. Those here at the Safe House Church, I want to pray for those real quickly. If anybody else in here in the house would like to have prayer as the music is playing softly, amen. We want to pray for those online, as we have a number of them that are there, to let them know that we're there for them, and we love them, and we're grateful for what God has done in their lives. Oh, Lord.